Welcome to episode 30 of the podcast Hot Mess to Great Success. My name is Dr. Jennifer Gardella, and I developed this podcast dedicated... Welcome to episode 30 of the podcast Hot Mess to Great Success. This podcast is dedicated to helping you get pieces of your personal and professional life in order. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Gardella, and I started this podcast for anyone that needs a little bit of private inspiration. You may not want to shout your disorganization from the rooftop, jump into a mastermind, or even share on social looking for information. You just want to know that someone is out there working out their stuff, and people, I am working out my stuff. Speaking of my stuff, this podcast is sponsored today by one of my businesses, Your Social Media Hour, which will help any realtor, personality, author, or business owner develop and execute a strong, strategic social media, blogging, complete digital marketing program for their business. So today we have three pretty hot topics. I tend to discuss the hot stuff, the tough stuff on here. The first one that I have to share is, who are you putting around your table in 2024? Second one is, when you don't get what you want and you have to deal with that disappointment. And the third one, it may be a tough pill for some of you to swallow. How do you stop posting garbage on social media? If you're in the self-promotion game, it's time that we get you out and moving towards a more authentic representation of your brand on the internet. Now, I will warn you, I had a really tough ending to 2023, beginning of 2024, and I'm taking the gloves off. I am sick and tired of tiptoeing around bigger topics, important topics. I'm not going to go scream at people that hurt me, but what I'm going to do is start talking about my feelings, how things hurt, and encourage everybody to be better at, well, citizens and friends. So first topic, which is a heavy one, and the one that probably threw me for the biggest loop at the end of 2023, who are you sitting around your table with? Are you begging to sit there? Who are you inviting in? Are you begging people to come and sit around your table? And are you excluded from tables? It is time to get out of these ruts. I noticed something at the end of 2023. Most people that I've been hanging out with are unwilling to engage in true, authentic communication. Now, let me start off by saying that that's a really tough nut for many people to swallow. But like, why do you go out and have fluffy conversations with people? I'm not saying you have to dive into, you know, the tough topics of the day or existential feelings every time you get together. But if it just seems to be very surface and superficial, what are you doing? Also, if you're the one who's always asking your friends or relatives, hey, what's going on? More than likely, you're being excluded. And I want to first take time to acknowledge that when you are excluded, it is ridiculously painful. I'll tell you that at the end of 2023, I was excluded from an event that really, really hurt. And I tried to lend, or I should say lean, on the quote, you weren't invited because of conversations you didn't hear. More than likely, if people are excluding you on purpose, they're doing it and talking about you. And that's just wrong. You don't want to be there anyway. Now, again, I know that that hurts a lot. I reached out to my daughter to discuss the situation with her, and she had the following quote, which I'm going to read. God has removed you from a table where you used to sit in order to save you from a host who was serving you poison. Youch. If you've been sitting at a table too long and people either are starting to exclude you or they're not nice when you're there, there's probably poison being slung in your direction. Get out. Now, the harder question is, when there is drama or poison, why do other people go and sit there, right? And I've learned this during my healing journey out of domestic violence. You may have read my book, Domestic Violence Awareness, Listen for the Whispers of Abuse, where I outline the concept of flying monkeys. Drama queens usually have a set of flying monkeys around them. And the flying monkeys don't ever call the abuser on their behavior. And let's face it, excluding others is freaking abuse. So if that abuser is not being called and has people that still circulate around them, they're probably flying monkeys. And here's what I know. The flying monkeys, which could be a very good friend of yours, are so incredibly shallow or have so much drama to deal with in their own lives that it's easier to get sucked into the life of the abuser. Now, that's hard to watch, right? You watch a very good friend go off without you to an event, and there's a lot of pain. Then you got to ask yourself, why do I even want to sit there, right? And I liken this to what I call prom queen syndrome. You, in your mind, have somehow equated the flying monkeys, the abuser, however, the queen bee of the beehive, to some sort of elevated status over you, and you just want to be included in what he or she is doing. I can tell you that if you're not being invited, those people are not worthy of sitting with you at a table. Again, that hurts, and it's going to take some time for you to work through this, but you can do it. There's also something else I want you to be aware of. You may be someone like me who tends to be very inclusive. I have looked around in my life and seen that many times I have been excluded. I've been excluded from baby showers and weddings and being part of people's bigger celebrations. But yet, I have always included them in my life. There are a couple people in particular that I always make sure that they have a place to go to on the holidays. They don't reciprocate. In fact, they then go out of their way to exclude me. That really hurts. What am I doing caring about these individuals who don't really want to spend time with me, don't want to have an authentic relationship with me, but they then just want to exclude me, not, and then other people follow them. I know that this sounds like a lot of complicated maneuvering here. Again, life shouldn't be this complicated. And remember, this is abusive. So how do you get out of it? Well, the first thing is to realize that there's a relationship in your life that isn't working, or two or three, right? And you have to stop begging and you have to stop hoping that you're going to be included in that table. You'll be included in tables where you should be included, and people will come to your table who should be with you. But plan and make the very firm intention to only be at tables with people who have your best interest at heart. So don't worry if you're sitting alone at first. I know how painful it is to sit alone. The right people will come together. What you have to do is set your intention very clear. You have to stop begging. And you also have to just start to trust that the universe is going to put the right people around you. And remember, when something doesn't feel right, it's time to walk away. And that may take you a couple months, it may take you a couple years, but it's that awareness that is so important that it's time to move on. Whew. I know that for some of you that may have hit a nerve and you realize that the people around you aren't working, I'm with you because I've just done it myself. Okay, the second thing we're going to talk about today is not getting what you want. There's kind of a funny story to start this topic off. So during Christmas week, my husband and I put a bid in on a house. I know, you're probably thinking, Jen, are you kidding me? You had nothing else to do during Christmas. What a great time to put on a bid in on a house. Well, the truth is, a house came on the market and a realtor who we had just started to work with knew that it was perfect for us for a lot of different reasons. It had the space we need for my kids to come home and visit. We have a member of our family who's in a wheelchair. That person could get very easily around in the house. It was close to friends. It was close to downtown. It was close to the train. It was pretty good. We did a lot of inspections during the week. We wrote a letter as to why the house was perfect. And then we were not selected. So here's what I learned during this process. First, I had to immediately rely on the fact that if we didn't get this house, it was not the house for us. We thought it was the house for us, but clearly it was not. And to be honest with you, there were many things behind those walls that we could not see. The inspection that they provided was a little shoddy because they didn't pick up things like asbestos or venting of the heating system that my realtor wound up bringing experts in. to investigate for us. There were just some things. It was an awful lot of yard that, while I do love to mow a lawn, not interested in that amount of yard, maybe. So again, overall, yes, it was perfect. But here's what I learned. The first thing is that I learned is that, and again, this was the first offer we put in, but I can't get so emotionally involved right up front. Buying a house is largely a business decision. And when you have a lot of factors like we do, it gets a little emotional. Oh, this would be perfect for the wheelchair. Oh, look, there's going to be great space for all my kids to come visit at Christmas. But you don't have it yet. So I did do all the things I was supposed to do to ensure that energetically I was aligned with the house and, more importantly, the owner making the decision. So I did my affirmations, I wrote in my journal, I did my meditations as if I was already living there. That may sound a little crazy, but I did. I also went a little overboard. I investigated, as many of you know, I'm a huge fan of using the public library. I investigated how close the library was. How do I get a library card? Okay, that sounds a little strange, but I was way in. Here's something else, though, that came out of the process for me, which was a little overwhelming at first. The housing market has gone psychotic in the last 3 years. And we heard this at the beginning of COVID with 25 offers and people going $200,000 overbidding and waiving inspections. Now, people have clearly lost their minds. Not only do you have to waive inspections, or you can have the inspections done at your cost before you even get an offer accepted. Now people are actually waiving appraisals. So what that means is when you go for a mortgage, your mortgage company is going to want to make sure that the house is going to appraise for what you're paying for it. This is logical, right? We don't want to buy things that are several $100,000 or even, like, let's just say 20% less than what we're paying. A house isn't a big investment. You can lose your shirt here. So when you waive an appraisal, what that means is even if your mortgage company gets the house appraised and it appraises for less and you can't get a mortgage, rather than renegotiate the price, which should happen, you are going to come to the closing table with that extra money. So let's just say they find out something horrendous during the appraisal process and the house appraises for $100,000 less. When you put in your offer, you're guaranteeing them that you have that $100,000 to put into the closing so that you come with an extra $100,000. You can't waive a percentage of the appraisal. So you just guarantee them that you'll come to the table with that money. What the heck is this about, people? Do we care so little about our financial situations that we're willing to literally go underwater the minute we buy a house? That is really what I took away. And guess what? I'm not willing to do that. I also learned a big lesson, and again, I walked through this very quickly, and I was able to use much of my healing journey and all of the strength that I've built. I was quickly able to yell, next. Where's the next house? What is the next thing that we can look at? Our realtor was right there with us. Now, we were up against New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, which is a little interesting, but I did take the time to go back onto the websites and look for more properties, and that gave me a little bit of hope. And some more things to discuss with my husband and the realtor. And hopefully this whole entire process will produce, actually, I should say, I know this whole process is going to put us into the home that we were meant to be in for the next several years. So again, when you don't get what you want, look at how you worked through the process and then be ready to yell next. I've learned this in my business when a client has canceled a contract. I've learned this in my business when a client does not want to sign their contract. Okay, you aren't the right client for me now or anymore. Let's move on. There's always someone out there. Okay, the third thing that we're going to talk about is to stop posting garbage on social media. I know that that's a very strong statement. I'm from Jersey, and I am just, again, coming out of the box with gloves off. The internet is noisy. You can barely find things on the internet. And for some reason, I've seen this in the last 6 months, people have taken to social media to post how great they are. So they've done selfies. Oh my gosh, all the selfies that are going on in conferences, those are getting painful. I can get my picture taken with Tony Robbins if I pay enough money. I can get my picture taken with the CEO of some big company if I put myself in the right spot. It doesn't mean I'm good at what I do. It does not mean that you are good at what you do when you do it. It just means you either paid a lot of money or you found yourself in the right spot at the right time. Heck, I even found somebody on LinkedIn. I was scrolling through LinkedIn and someone had done a speech at a huge event that they had attended. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I missed it. What was the speech? Like, what were the highlights of your speech? And they couldn't even name the highlights. That's how little people care about the content and the substance and how much they are going for just, look at me, I'm speaking at this event. Look at me, I have a picture with the CEO. It's getting absolutely crazy. So the solution is simple. Commit to strong, really solid, authentic social media. Share your blog posts from your website and explain how you really help people. Talk about how much you care about the work that you do, the problems that you solve for your ideal clients, and what exactly your expertise is, and how you walk through holding your client's hand or your customer's hand in solving whatever problem that you solve. Okay, that was I got a little heated there for a while, didn't I? I think I really am coming into this spot in my life where I realize, number one, I would rather be on the couch with my dog Henry than with wrong people sitting around at a restaurant feeling like I'm included. Also, to really hone in on trusting the higher power, the universe, all of the gods themselves, whatever it is that you believe in, to get what you want out of life. There is a vibrational match that needs to be matched for sure, but don't go all in, especially with a big thing like a house purchase, before, you know, it's actually yours, at least in the short term. And then stop cheapening yourself with posting garbage social media. All this self-promotion has got to stop. Okay, everything is going to be available in the show notes. So I want you to check in there. You'll have links to some of the things that I mentioned. I will also be posting about this on social media in the next week or two. So I look forward to seeing you around the internet. Don't forget, check out your socialmediahour.com if you're looking for expert instruction in how to build a digital marketing strategy and then execute that strategy every single day. This is Dr. Jennifer Gardella. As always, I thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to hearing of your comments and sharing next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.